Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Music Therapy Show with Janice Lindstrom. Today is Friday, April 29th, 2016. I am Janice Lindstrom, and I started this show 8 years ago to talk about music therapy. I'm a board-certified music therapist with over 20 years of experience working with a variety of populations, and you can call in to congratulate me on 8 years of broadcasting or to ask questions at 646-652-2850. Or you can send me an email at heartbeatmusictherapy.net. Last year, around this time, Dr. Petra Kern was on my show to share lessons learned from online teaching with her virtual students. Today, I welcome her and Dr. Darcy Deloach, as well as their music therapy seniors, Madison Whelan, Holly Hankin, Emma Powers, and Garrett Weeks from the University of Louisville, Kentucky, to talk about intercultural competencies that are necessary to shape music therapy practice in today's global world. Over the last year, they have gained cultural awareness, engaged in intercultural dialogues, and explored music therapy practices abroad. So thanks, everybody, for being on the show today. Petra, as a former president of the World Federation of Music Therapy, a bicultural music therapist from Germany and practicing in the United States, and a world traveler, you have interacted with numerous cultural groups. So can you tell us what intercultural competencies are and why they're essential in a global world?
Sure, Janice. First of all, congratulations to your 8th anniversary of this show and having us back. I'm always happy to be part of your wonderful radio show on music therapy.
Thank you.
So, Well, this is actually an important topic we want to talk about today, as global interconnectedness and cultural diversity and intercultural connections have been facts of modern life and really have influenced education, practice, and research in music therapy. So I think we should all work on our intercultural skills and also gain competencies where needed. So that said, what are intercultural competencies? I was looking this up for this show and wanted to cite actually UNESCO 2013 definition and also bring in a little bit content from that report. So intercultural competences refer to knowledge about particular cultures and issues that may arise when interacting with different cultural groups, meaning intercultural competent music therapists, Janice, need to be aware of their own cultural identities, aspects of cultural values, beliefs, and attitudes, underlying communications such as language and nonverbal behavior. And they also need to be confident in implementing cultural sensitive repertoire such as songs, rhythms, different scales, all to overcome cross-cultural boundaries. And you might ask yourself, what are those skills, what are those competences that we need to be achieved to be an intercultural competent music therapist? So in the UNESCO report, Derdorf outlined 7 minimal requirements, which I thought are of interest to the listeners. So those are, first, respect of valuing others, no matter where they come from. So no matter if this is from the United States or other places in the world. The second one is self-awareness, that is understanding the lens through which we are viewing the world, meaning I experienced this coming from Germany, that many things I grew up with, Janice, have been different in here in this country, and I thought, is this right or is this wrong? Learning that there is no right and wrong in the world, actually. It really depends on which culture you're living and through which lens you're looking, what your perception is. The third one is seeing from other perspectives, meaning seeing the similarities and the differences. And I think, you know, we music therapists, we like to see more of the similarities and focus on those ones, but be aware of the differences and don't make a problem out of it, find solutions for it. And then number 4 would be listening. That means engaging in an authentic cultural, intercultural dialogue. So observing and be aware of what's going on. And then number 5 would be adaptation, which means to temporarily be able to shift into another perspective, to feel, you know, what this other person is saying and feeling and so forth. So just shifting all those different perspectives. Number 6 would be relationship building, so creating lasting cross-cultural personal bonds. And finally, cultural humility, meaning respecting others and combining the respect with our self-awareness. So ultimately, it seems to me that intercultural competences are more important than ever in today's world, Chinese, to shape not only a common future for music therapy, but more or less for humankind.
Absolutely. And Darcy, you're the director of the Thriving Music Therapy Program at the University of Louisville. Why are these intercultural competencies important to you, and where do the students find direct application in their local community?
Well, this is something at U of L, I should stop and say congratulations on 8 years of listening. And thank you for having us. We're so excited to be talking to you today. We do take this very seriously at U of L for many reasons, some of which are the new competencies when they were revised for ANTA included more language and focus on developing cultural sensitivity and actually demonstrating skill working with culturally diverse populations. And then the CB&T domain document also has language about the cultural skills that music therapists need to develop to provide competent practice in the field. And specifically in Louisville, we actually have a very large refugee population. And so our university has set a priority with their School of Medicine and through interdisciplinary studies to address the needs of the refugee populations in Louisville. And so this is something that we are addressing with our students, and we're working from the ground up, identifying and learning about how do we gain these new skills with hands-on work in the community and through these interdisciplinary collaborations, but also how do we become knowledgeable about the needs and develop these sensitivities and awareness and opening our eyes up and recognizing where our biases are when we're interacting with different population groups.
Oh, okay. Louisville sounds like a really interesting program, and that's neat that the university has made that a priority. So, Petra, in your online courses, how are you embedding learning opportunities that support your students in understanding cultural diversity?
Yes, Janice, that might sound like a difficult thing to do this online, but not at all. So for Darcy and myself and our other faculty members, it's really important for us to embed all the intercultural competences in our courses. So we enriched our entire curriculum with international content. We offered a study abroad opportunities and encouraged students' exchange and participation in international conferences. That said, in my hybrid courses, the way I do it, I built in activities that enhance culture-sensitive repertoire, such as songs or folk dances. That's what we're doing in Music Therapy Techniques 1. I assign also culture-based readings related to students' clinical work, raising awareness, sensitivity, and understanding of culture issues. So there are great readings from Lee Morris Berger about Culture Matters, Latin American Culture, published in Imagine, as well as Rivera and Barlow, who discussed developing multicultural sensitivity in early childhood music therapy practice, and then the whole Color of Us series, which we publish in Imagine. So those are some of the assignments which students go through, and we discuss it as they're going to their early childhood practicas and so forth. I also like to share my personal experiences on how cultural diversity impacts therapeutic experiences around the world where I'm doing my consultation work and so forth. And I also encourage students to reflect on their own experiences. So we also look at examples of cultural conflicts, such as, you know, handshakes, looking in someone's eyes, body contact, or interrupting a conversation for asking a question. That was, by the way, a difficult one for me in the United States, you know, with English as a second language, to figure out when can you actually interrupt a very fast English conversation and be still polite. So I had to learn to read those cues and know when it's time for me to ask questions and so forth. I also create assignments that foster cultural diversity, such as interviews, and that's done online worldwide with professionals around the world on similarities or differences of music therapy services. Some of those assignments can actually be published at the World Federation of Music Therapy's Windows to the World student blog. So students have an assignment to actually publish there. And this year, actually, with the students which are with us on the show, we did student interviews with our peers from Germany and Poland, which we visited last year. And they interviewed them on attitudes towards individuals with disabilities and how it may influence the therapeutic process in music therapy.
Oh, wow, that sounds really interesting. So let's hear from the students. So Madison and Holly and Emma and Garrett, what have you learned when interviewing music therapy students in Poland and Germany?
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having us on the Sorry, this is Holly Hankin. I noticed a lot from interviewing a colleague from Katowice, Poland, that there's much stronger emphasis on the importance of improvisation, like competency in doing so. And I thought that was a very interesting aspect of their field. And also, the importance of improvisation plays along with the fact that they use a lot of elements from a different framework than we use at University of Louisville. They have much stronger ties to Nordoff-Robbins framework, and we have much stronger ties to CBT practice.
So this is Madison. Holly and I interviewed the same person, a friend from Katowice, and we found that there were more similarities in our practices than differences. Music therapists face similar challenges regarding advocacy and funding, perhaps even more so as the field of music therapy in Poland is much smaller than the United States. That was something really interesting and kind of encouraging to realize when interviewing our friend from Katowice.
This is Emma. Kind of going off of what Madison and Holly said, the field of music therapy obviously is much larger in the U.S. than it is in Poland. And I think one thing that I talked about with the student that I interviewed was that I think it lends itself to more division in the field here in the U.S. So according to the student that I talked to, I thought it was really interesting. Poland actually presents itself as much more of a united front. They are very tied to Nordoff-Robbins and to improvisation in terms of therapeutic frameworks and practices, whereas I think we just experience a lot more division in the field here in the U.S.
And this is Garrett Weeks. The biggest thing that I was able to take away when my group interviewed our Poland student was that they have a lot of trouble with funding, kind of like what Madison and Holly were saying earlier. They don't have any kind of healthcare system set up or means of funding other than just strictly out of pocket. So trying to convince families that music therapy is a viable resource to them is difficult because there's no help for pay in that sense.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing those perspectives. And a topic that makes the everyday news right now are the huge numbers of refugees worldwide. Will this be the new population seen in music therapy, Darcy? And how should we respond as educators?
Now, I'm really curious to see how this starts to present itself as different client groups that music therapists work with in the U.S. When I started thinking about this topic and how to include it into the different curriculum elements at U of L, I was really shocked to see that there doesn't appear to be much work happening in the U.S. right now by music therapists. And if there is work being done, it's not being talked about or blogged about or written about. I only found one person, a music therapist in Atlanta, Laura Cribb, who has done some blogging about working with refugee populations. So I do think that this probably is going to be a population that music therapists can focus on if they have that interest or has that need in their area. And as educators, I think it presents itself as an interesting opportunity for us to help shape the field with these future music therapists coming out and working in the field by providing different resources and different opportunities within the classroom, but also hopefully within the community setting through practicums and possibly internships. Opportunities because I do think that this is, it seems to be a growing need area worldwide that the U.S. is starting to, and has, you know, for many years, but is really starting to impact certain cities in the U.S. that are receiving high numbers of refugees.
Mm-hmm. So, and how have your students been involved in this preliminary project? Maybe the students can jump back in and share their information.
Yeah, we can talk about this. We did a really interesting course. We did a special topics course this semester that I taught. And so it was an elective that certain students chose to participate in. And Madison, Holly, and Emma all took this course. And we did a pretty intensive, we meaning the students, did a very intensive literature review within our field and outside of our field to identify the characteristics and needs and what the evidence is suggesting as appropriate in working when you're working with different displaced people groups. And then we did some brainstorming about curriculum development and how music therapy practice in the U.S. and outside of the U.S., working from their knowledge and exposure and seeing music therapy practice in Germany and in Poland, how would we make recommendations for clinical work and different curriculum aspects within the U.S. and outside of the U.S. And so it was really exciting and energizing for me to see the students really delve into this topic. Do any of you all want to make any comments about what you learned or how we took that approach with this course?
Yeah, this is Emma. This was such a fascinating project for me to be a part of because it is such a hot topic right now, not only within healthcare fields, but across the board. So to research this topic, we had to look, like Dr. Deloach was saying, we had to look not only at healthcare journals, which we did, but we were also looking at social media and politics and government policies and history and global perspectives of refugees and displaced people groups. And ultimately, we discovered that there's just not a lot of valid research out there to reference if you're planning to work with refugees or if you have the opportunity to do music therapy with refugees. So I think that's why the work that we're doing and that other people are doing is so important right now, just because it's so relevant and there's just not a lot out there.
Hi there, this is Holly Hinken. I've really enjoyed this course a lot. It's really given us all an opportunity to work independently and also alongside colleagues and our professor on a more personal level. We've gotten to look at journals from a bunch of different countries, from a bunch of different frameworks, and we've been able to transfer a lot of the knowledge that we've learned from the journals of other healthcare professions and apply it to our curriculum recommendations that we're working on right now based on the need areas of our clients.
This is Madison. So we spent most of the semester, again, collecting information, and we recently sat down and just spent a lot of time brainstorming what to do with all this information. And we're hoping to create a curriculum for working with the refugee population, and Holly and I are actually doing an internship together. So we're hoping that we could maybe even have the possibility to sort of field test and see if our ideas actually work. But we're hoping that everything works out and we'll be able to provide the field with something that could be useful with working with refugee and displaced people group populations.
That's fascinating. So I understand that you also took 10 students to Germany and Poland last year. So Petra, what did you do in your home country in Germany? And then maybe Darcy can talk about the exchange program in Poland.
Yes, it was awesome to take our students to my home country and introduce them to German culture. It was for sure my highlight of 2015. I met with a group of students at the Frankfurt Airport, and our first experience was what it means that German trains are on time, meaning if there are 2 minutes allocated to change a platform, it means 2 minutes, even if you have to carry a heavy luggage up and down stairways. And I remember Madison screaming, "Come on, guys, we can do it!" And we did it. So that was our first cultural experience. After visiting a famous Heidelberg Castle, we met faculty and students of the SRH University of Heidelberg. So for dinner at the Rote Ochsen, which is the Heidelberg's oldest and most traditional student pub from 1703, imagine. And on the next day, we visited the university. And while Darcy and I, we met with Dr. von Muro and the director of the music therapy program and Dean Hillicke and the vice president, our students experienced a sound journey led by the Heidelberg students, followed by short research presentations of PhD candidates and faculty. And we also heard a presentation from Dr. Karin Schumacher, who is known for autism spectrum disorder in Germany. And then in the evenings, all students went out to explore the city, which resulted that only half of them could join us for a Thursday morning stroll on the famous philosopher walk overlooking Heidelberg. However, we had everyone back in time to the train to Würzburg, where we attended a symposium of the European Confederation of Music Therapy. And so students could experience first the sound boat, which is a special instrument created by Emma Vogt. And then we attended presentations from eight European music therapists who spoke about, what was the topic, European perspective on music therapy for special education and geriatrics. In the evening, we chilled out at the city beach, which was really beautiful, and reflected on the cultural experiences and the students' aha moments, what they learned during the day and what was kind of sticking out to them. We also got a chance to visit the Kapelle, which is a beautiful old chapel, and we had a German dinner at the Schützenhof. And I remember that Gerrit got about 8 sausages on the Main River tour to Weizhöchheim, where we visited Rokokogarten. And that night, I think the students hang out with the Würzburg students before we then headed back to the airport to fly to Poland the next day. And Darcy's going to talk about the Poland exchange program.
Yeah, we have an exchange program set up with the Music Academy in Katowice. And this program for music therapy was established actually by Barbara Wheeler, who's a former president of AMTA and was the faculty member who started the music therapy program at the University of Louisville. And so I inherited this wonderful opportunity when I joined the faculty at U of L. And right now what we're doing is I'm exchanging students about every other year or every year. And we will go as a group from University of Louisville to Katowice and stay in their music academy and take classes with them and then also go into the community and observe and participate in the music therapy sessions that are happening. Sometimes we will go, on some years we'll go on a trip somewhere nearby and visit a facility or make presentations at a facility. The schedule will vary depending on the year, but it's a wonderful time to immerse into the music therapy practice and study in Poland. And then when students come from Poland to U of L, they're housed by our students at U of L generously. And we do that instead of putting the students up in a hotel or in a dorm because they really want, the students want to get the American university experience because it is so different in America than it is in Poland. And so the students always have a good time in America and then also sit in on classes, attend community and clinic. We have a clinic on our campus, so they'll attend clinic sessions with clients and then also attend presentations. And so it's a really wonderful time for them to see the difference in how we educate in America in music therapy topics and then also how what does it look like hands-on in clinical settings. And so I've been very thankful that this exchange is an option for our students because we've worked out a collaboration where the host university or the academy pays all of the expenses for the visiting guests once they land. So the only expense for our students in going to Poland is the plane ticket, and typically we have some special funding available to assist with that as well from the university. And then the same is true when our Polish guests visit. We pay for all of the accommodations once they land and all of their food and all of their transportation. And so it's truly a growing experience. I always love seeing the growth, not just academically, but also personally in the students when they get to have this experience and opportunity.
That is really neat that you were able to provide that for both the students from Poland and for your own students. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk to the students again. All of you experienced this travel abroad. So what was your aha moment in terms of music therapy practice in those countries?
This is Garrett Weeks again. My biggest thing that was kind of my aha moment, the amount of improvisation that is used in Poland in comparison to here in the States. I believe that Madison or Holly hinted at it earlier, but just the piano skills that the students have over in Poland are just amazing to me, mainly because I'm not so strong on the piano. So really being able to see those students work in a way that is totally based out of improvisation was really interesting to me.
Hi there, this is Holly again. I had a very similar aha moment to Garrett as well. I really thought it was very interesting, the heavy emphasis that they put on improvisation in practice. But I also really enjoyed being there and enjoyed being receptive to what they had to say about music therapy. And I really enjoyed how receptive and accepting they were of what we had to say and our different ideas for our practices.
This is Emma. My aha moment was definitely when we had the opportunity to shadow several of the Polish students in their clinical work at a rehab facility. Just being able to observe the differences and the similarities in between here in the U.S. and in Poland in clinical practice was fascinating to me. But my favorite part was definitely seeing the reactions of the patients because it was exactly the same as the many of the reactions that I see here in the U.S. during my practice and visits. I just think it's awesome that no matter where you are, when you walk into a room with instruments, people just absolutely light up and are so happy that you're there. And that was the same in Poland as it is here in the U.S. So that was really cool for me to see.
This is Madison. I think my aha moment was when we attended a European music therapy conference in Würzburg. They had presenters from all across Europe that shared stories and research and examples of their practices. And I realized that even though we might have different ways of practicing and different techniques we may use, music therapists share a common goal, which is to help others using music. It was such a great moment finding commonality across countries and across cultures and languages. It was such a neat experience.
Oh, that's neat. So what did each of you love about the study abroad program, and why would you recommend it to other students?
Hi there, this is Holly. I really, really enjoyed getting to spend time in the hospitals in Germany and in the School of Music dorm building in Poland, because that was really the place that we got to meet and learn about a lot of other students and some similarities and differences that they have in their experience as a student. And many of the students in Germany and Poland in these places were actually from places outside of these countries. Like, we met several students from China, one student from Canada, actually, in Poland, and several other countries. So there were so many opportunities to learn about different people and different cultures just in our where we were spending the night every night.
This is Emma. I loved the chance that studying abroad gave me to step out of my comfort zone, because it definitely did. These experiences helped me to grow not only as a student, but just as a person. And it gave me such great perspective on music therapy, and then also just on the world itself. It's also such a great team building experience for you and your classmates. I would recommend to any student, no matter if they're a music therapy student or not, going on a trip with classmates that you're going to be working with for 4 years. There's nothing quite like getting lost in a German city to help you learn to work together. So I'm so glad that I got to take this trip. And it was, you know, these were already my best friends, but we just grew so much closer through all the experiences that we were able to have together while we were in Europe.
This is Garrett. I would just have to back up what Emma and Holly both said. I really enjoyed getting to know the students over in Poland, and of course, the cultures, the differences, either in dance or speaking or in greetings, and of course the food. I mean, I would recommend if anyone had the opportunity to do so.
This is Madison. Going off of what Emma said, I think that everyone should take the opportunity to put themselves outside of their comfort zone in order to grow as a person. And I think traveling is an experience that will challenge you to grow in every way imaginable. And I definitely did during our trip. And I'm so glad I had the opportunity to go with my best friends. And it was just a really incredible experience. And if you have the chance, take it.
Excellent. All right. So we're at the end of the show. Darcy and Petra, do you have another study abroad trip planned?
Yes. Do you want to answer, Darcy? Yes, you want to talk about Thailand and Japan? Maybe
yeah,
you want
really
to start
quickly.
Off first.
I know we're. Yeah, we're going to team up with Dr. Dina Register, who's now at West Virginia University, and she has a study abroad course that any student can register for. That's a 6-week course in Thailand. They've partnered with Mahidol University through a Fulbright award she won when she was on the faculty at University of Kansas. It's a fantastic program. And so we'll be joining in for part of that study abroad experience with our students next summer.
Right. And then we will go to the World Congress of Music Therapy, which is in Tsukuba in Japan from July 4th to 8th, 2017. And I think for all of the students, not only ours, worldwide, this is an incredible experience, not only to foster intercultural competencies, but also to build lasting cross-cultural professional and personal bonds with music therapists around the globe. So we also hope that our students can present with us and get some international experiences of presenting what they're doing in the United States to a worldwide audience. And we hope that they will engage in authentic cultural dialogues. And so I'm really looking forward to this one.
Well, thank you all for being on my show today. It was a really lovely conversation, and I know that listeners are going to be inspired to engage even more in cultural experiences and to travel the world. Thank you all for listening to this show and for listening for the last 8 years. If you haven't been listening for 8 years, some of the early ones are a little bit rough, but there's a lot of good content that you can find at heartbeatmusictherapy.net. Join me and Dr. Megan Maskow on May 27th for another edition of the Music Therapy Journal Club, where we're going to discuss the spring 2016 edition of the Journal of Music Therapy. Have a lovely weekend, everyone, and I'll talk to you then.